Okay, we're done. Okay, welcome back everyone to the 15th episode of the Young Paramedics podcast. That Steve intro you heard was
it's a little inside joke in between me and Ezra.
Also, yeah, it's Sakura Tribe Elder, also known as Steve. And so one day Miles was randomly whistling I Want You Back by Jackson 5, and then we were talking about Steve, Sakura Tribe Elder, for like a deck we were brewing, and then I started singing it with Steve. So that's how we ended up with this Steve Jackson 5 remix. We should post that to SoundCloud.
Kidding. Yeah, the first 25 seconds of this are just Steve.
Steve. Okay, we're done.
we also tried to come up with a Punch Nickel Bolas one, but it didn't go so well.
Oh, yeah. Punch. Nickel Bolas, and Jay's Punch. Nickel Bolas.
Okay, punch. Never mind.
Punch.
This is where all of my choir expertise has gone. Like, literally, this is what 3 years of middle school choir gets me. I get to sing Steve on a Magic the Gathering podcast. Singing Jackson 5 with Steve. Okay.
No, it's where your perfect pitch gets you.
Well, okay, whatever. We were singing in the right key, so if anyone out there wants to listen to...
Yeah, we were singing in the right key because you started singing it in the right key, and I'm not completely tone deaf.
Wee. Well, you're also a bassoon player, so you can't be tone deaf.
Exactly.
All right. Anyways, today we are talking about the Enhanced Evolution C20 precon with the command. Hang on. Let's go over our mistake. We were very sorry for the confusion. We called this the teamer deck the Enhanced Evolution deck last time when it was
Arcane Maelstrom.
Arcane Maelstrom. Right. So. Today we're doing Enhanced Evolution.
I think Charlie should announce this deck because it's his favorite color. It's Charlie's his favorite colors. Charlie, why don't you introduce the deck?
Soul Tie. Yeah, so the deck is Enhanced Evolution, which is in Soul Tie, commanded by Otremi, which, you know, pretty cool. It's an interesting deck, but we have some cards that we think we would like to exchange in the deck and that we think would be a better fit for the deck. So you're ready to it.
So we have the 10 cards that we want to take out, 10 cards that we want to put in. And so our 10, first one is Bonder's Ornament. Bonder's Ornament we talked about on the last episode, but it's 3 mana for an artifact. It has tap, add 1 mana of any color. And then also 4 and tap it. Each player who controls a permanent named Bonder's Ornament draws a card. This is not a very great card. Like, 4 mana to draw a card and then potentially giving someone else a card just doesn't seem that powerful.
Yeah, we've kind of already talked about this, but there really are better mana rocks rather than a 3 mana.
Mana Geode is better, I think.
Rather than a Manalith that has a card that lets you essentially draw a card for 5 mana, and it could potentially draw your opponent's cards too. It's really just not what you want to be doing in a commander game.
It really won't, because your opponents are not going to be playing this card because it's so bad.
Yeah, I mean, really, not ideal.
Five mana to draw a card, not a good rate, especially because in this deck we want to be ramping on turn 2. Oh, wait, we haven't read Otremi. Otremi the Ever-Playful. 3 and black, red, green, blue. For legendary creature, Nightmare Beast, 6/6. It has mutate for 1 green, black, 1 green, black, and blue. Or 1 black, green, and blue, sorry. So if you cast a spell for its mutate cost, put it over or under target non-human creature you control. They mutate... Oh, non-creature you own, not control. They
non-human
mutate...
Creature.
Non-human creature you own. So that's maybe useful. Like, you could use it on something that someone's stolen. I don't know why that'd be useful, but it's you own, not you control. And then they mutate into the creature on top, plus all the abilities from under it. So most of the time, Otremi is going to go on top, and then you're going to get the extra abilities from whatever is under it.
Yeah, so this is a cool commander. It's new, and it's still a little confusing because Mutate is one of the most complicated mechanics Magic has ever introduced. And there's a lot of really weird interactions that I'm still not completely sure about. For example, I don't know how it works with, you know, you own. I don't know how the interaction is if you mutate a creature that your opponent controls, but you own. There's just a lot of things that
there's a lot of just gray area.
They haven't even done the rules rewriting because they come out with the new comprehensive rules each set release. So they're going to release like
They probably are still debating over how this mechanic works.
I think they've thought it all over in R&D, but I just don't think they've they're still trying to figure out how to word it. And then I think even Maro himself is kind of confused cuz he said something that people are taking to Twitter and like up in arms and they're like, "Oh, Maro's water's wrong." But like cut the guy some slack. Like this is a hard mechanic. Like I know he didn't even have that much he was like the leader of the vision team, so he like had this mutate idea, handed it over to rules and set design, then they flew with it, they changed all the mutate stuff. So like he wasn't even in like all like hands on deck on the things. I mean I can't be 100% certain about that, but like he's not like a rules expert. He's not a level 5 judge. So like the people who are, like, up in arms on Twitter, like, chill out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see how it is, but...
It's a very complicated mechanic.
There's I wouldn't doubt that they're still figuring it out. It's very complicated, and there's just so many interactions and weird little things that will need to be cleared up in coming time. But it's a cool mechanic.
I agree that Mutate is a very cool mechanic. It's a re-envisioning of the Augment and Host from Unstable. I mean, I'd be really hard-pressed to think that this was not designed, like, based off of the Mutate mechanic. I mean, I'm sorry, the Host and Augment mechanic.
Yeah, I mean, they're very similar in that you just, like, combine creatures, essentially. But Mutate's a... interesting mechanic, and this is a pretty interesting commander deck here for the C20 or for the C20 set. And so there are some cool decks here, but there are a few cards that we think are a little lacking, and so we replaced them. Right. 10 in, 10
this
out.
Happens with every set. They don't have a
Not every card is going to be great.
No deck is perfect. Like even last year. The most most sites, most content creators, I mean, this is before back when we started, but they were all saying that the Naya Populate deck was the strongest. But even so, there are some weak cards in the Naya Populate deck. Like, all the decks had Scare Tiller in it, and that's not a very strong card. There were some lackluster cards in even the most powerful C19 decks, C17 decks. Even, like, they say the Golden Year was C16, that most people... agree. Like I agree as well that was the I think that was the best designed commander product, and I didn't even play commander back then, like, so. But it's like there's always going to be cards that we want to cut, and
however C20 is definitely interesting,
right, but I think we don't need to spend a ton of money on these upgrades. We can still make them good by only spending a very small amount of money. Anywho, let's get back into what we're replacing Bonder's Ornament with. We wanted to replace it with a better form of ramp, especially one that might be a creature, like a low drop creature. So Otrimi, we really want to be mutating onto a small, like, we want to be casting
Otrimi. We just want to be getting them out fast.
Right, Otrimi on turn 4, because of the mutate cost, is quite strong, because then we can. Because we have non-humans on turn 1, turn 2. If we can ramp on turn 1 or turn 2, right, turn 3, we can get out Otrimi, and then we can start returning stuff from Mutate from our graveyard to our hand with Otrimi's ability. And, I didn't read the rest of Otrimi. Otrimi is a 6/6 with trample, and then whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, return target creature card with mutate from your graveyard to your hand.
Ezra, so, why don't you just read Otrimi through so that way you can just
let's try that again. Three, yeah. Otrimi the Everplayful is 3 black, green, blue for 6/6 legendary creature nightmare beast. Otrimi has mutate for 1 black, green, and a blue. So if you cast the spell for its mutate cost, put it on over or under target non-human creature you own. They mutate into the creature on top, plus all the abilities from under it. Has trample, and whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, return target creature card with mutate from your graveyard to your hand. Not entirely super simple, but I think pretty great design space. You're getting cards with mutate back, good mutate commander. So we're going to get lots of stuff out of the graveyard.
Here's my question. I think it
ends up being a pretty decent card.
You're able to mutate something, like mutate Otrimi onto, for example, I don't know.
The code that we're going to talk about.
Like Steve or something, you know? You can mutate it because it's not human. I know.
Okay, whatever.
That's why I'm not saying Steve.
Okay. Steve.
I'm gonna let someone else do that.
Steve. Okay, continue.
So could you mutate it onto Steve because he's not a human, even though he doesn't have a mutated ability, right?
Yeah. So it's just any non-human creature can mutate onto.
Okay. However, to mutate a creature onto another one, they have to have mutate, correct?
What?
Like,
to mutate a creature, the original creature that you're going to mutate.
Right.
Yeah. So at least the card with the mutate ability has to have mutate.
The card
in order to mutate a creature, it has to have mutate.
Right. So you can't mutate Steve onto Otrimi, but you can mutate Otrimi onto
the other way around.
The card that's doing the mutating has to have mutate.
Okay. All right. Back into it. Charlie, why don't you say what we're replacing Bonder's Ornament with?
So we're going to be replacing Bonder's Ornament with, I'd say, a far superior form of Ramp and Llanowar Elves. So Llanowar Elves is an elf druid for 1 green that taps for a green and is 18 cents. So Llanowar Elves is a super well-known card. It's played in many, many decks. I'd say every player Magic knows it. And it's only 1 mana, and it really helps us to accelerate getting Otrimi out and even mutate Otrimi onto Llanowar Elves on something like turn 3. And then we can start swinging with the 6/6 on turn 4. And so it's just a really good card, and it allows us to really power out our deck early. And so, I mean, just a solid card in general, but works really well here too.
Okay, so yeah, a rules clarification. When you use Otrimi to mutate onto the creature, if you put Otrimi on top, then the creature is Otrimi. The creature is not the other creature. The creature is Otrimi. The creature is whatever is on top of the pile. So if you have Otrimi on top of the pile, then the creature is Otrimi. And if so, Otrimi will not have haste, which now I'm thinking about it makes Beast Caller Savant a pretty good card. But we will talk about that later. But anyways, that's just a cool rules clarification. You will need it to have haste some other way if you want to attack with Otrimi the first turn. Otherwise, unless you want to put Otrimi on the bottom, in which you could do that. So on turn 4, we could mutate Otrimi onto the Llanowar Elves. So then it would be a 1/1 Llanowar Elves, but it would also have Otrimi's trample and ability. But if we wanted to put Otrimi on top, we wouldn't be able to attack with it.
So in this case, maybe running a 1/1 with trample would be effective.
Well, Otrimi has trample, right? So.
Oh, never mind. Sorry.
Yeah. But for other of the cards, Charging Badger, I think, is the card that we were talking about on that one episode, which is the 1/1 with trample.
That's why.
Right, that's why we... Yep, Charging Badger from Born of the Gods is a green mana for a creature badger, 1/1 with trample. 6 cents, go buy your Charging Badgers. I wouldn't be very happy if I received
charge.
Yeah. it is very charging. It's a very angry badger.
Okay. All right. The next card that we are going to... I was already doing it, Ezra. Come on. Next card that we are going to get rid of is Predatory Impetus. It is 400 green for an enchantment aura. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +3/+3 and must be blocked if able and is goaded. We read this in our Arcane Maelstrom deck.
It's goaded. Best of all time.
No, it's not. It's not goaded because it's not goaded.
It's goaded.
We personally think that they're a much better card.
It goats the creature. It goats the creature. It's goaded. Like, the creature
you could
is
just put like Oaken Form on something, and that's 3 mana for +3/+3. Which,
well, I mean, here's the thing: you can use it as removal, but I just don't. The goad.
If you're gonna use it as removal, you might as well just run something like murder.
Right.
You know?
I mean, it's versatile, but at 5 mana, I don't think that's what we want to be doing. By then, we have a lot of the curve for this deck is pretty high because we've got lots of 5 and 6 drops when we're mutating stuff, so that we can make like a certain creature a giant monster. Like maybe make Otrimi a gigantic thingy with trample, so like a 6/6 with tons of abilities and stuff. And Charlie says you guys hate on Impetus, but we don't love Impetus.
I mean, I think they're decent. I think they deserve more credit than they get.
No, I just don't think they're right in this deck. Like this deck specifically, I think it's better if we just run straight up command, straight up like removal, because we want to be keeping our mana for mutate abilities, and we're going to be using lots of our mana because we're constantly recurring stuff. So I think we're always going to have lots of cards in hand. We're going to do lots of recurring and putting stuff in our hands, so we're going to have lots of mana. I just don't think it's what we want to be doing in this deck specifically, but I do agree that they're pretty good cards in more politic-minded decks. I think these three would all be great additions to, like, say, a Tasigur deck. Because then you can manipulate people and stuff, because that's what Tasigur wants you to do. I think they're fine. I just don't think they're best for this deck.
Yeah, I mean, they're fine. I'm not going to say anything. I mean,
Charlie disagrees with us, to put it simply.
Charlie disagrees with us removing the Impetuses from the deck. But
and,
I like,
you know, we don't care.
I like Bloodthirsty Blade more of the time, though. Bloodthirsty Blade. Hang on, why do you guys move on so that I can find the...
Yeah, so... Secondly, and sadly, we're going to be removing Psychic Impetus. Psychic Impetus is the blue...
Hold on, Impetus. We never said what we were replacing Predatory Impetus with.
Oh, yeah, we're replacing. Why don't we go through the other Impetus too as well?
Get them both done.
Just do both of the Impetuses, and then we can talk about
get all three of them done.
Just talk about this.
Yeah, it's 2 and a blue for an enchantment creature, or enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and is goaded. Whenever enchanted creature attacks, you scry 2. Wow, this is fantastic card advantage. This is just a fantastic card. I like everything about this card.
It's not even card advantage.
And then... Someone else. Yeah, I...
Charlie's just having a sobbing session over here for his... For his Impetuses.
Ezra, why don't you say goodbye to the third and final Impetus?
Parasitic Impetus is the last one that's going bye-bye. 2 and a black for a creature aura. Oh, I'm sorry, enchantment aura. Enchant creature. And then enchanted creature has +2/+2 and is goaded. And whenever the enchanted creature attacks, its controller loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. It's fine. It's fine. This deck was actually pretty synergistic with lots of mutate creatures, so we were finding stuff to remove. But I think if you're finding yourself, like, you want to remove the other ones that we're talking
Here's
about.
Here's how I feel about this card. You're not going to play it on your own creatures unless your deck is specifically made about losing life, made around losing life, with it, which this deck isn't. So I would say, why not just put like Sinister Possession in? Because then you're not buffing your opponent's creature, and it's also one mana, but it has that ability of whenever it attacks.
Oh, I see.
They lose two life, you know?
Sinister Possession. Right. So whenever enchanted creature attacks or blocks its control, it loses two life. I mean, yeah. It's slightly different, but the goat is pretty good. I agree, but I like Bloodthirsty Blade more. I found it. Bloodthirsty Blade is 2 mana for an artifact equipment. Equipped creature gets +2/+0 and is goated. And also, you can pay 1 and attach Bloodthirsty Blade to target creature an opponent controls. Activate this ability only a time you could cast a sorcery. So, like, you just you equip it to your opponent's creatures, and then they have to attack each other. And this is because you can bounce it around from creature to creature. I think this is a better card than the Impetus.
I agree. All right, Ezra, why don't you say what we're replacing Predatory Impetus with?
Predatory Impetus is being replaced with Elvish Mystic, which is a functional copy of Llanowar Elves. We're also replacing Psychic Impetus with Beast Caller Savant. Beast Caller Savant is 1 and a green for... Basically, it has haste and can tap to add 1 mana of any color, but only to cast a creature spell. It's a 1/1 creature Elf Shaman ally. So it has haste, though, and that's why we like it, because you can play it with haste, and then you can put Otrimi onto it, and Otrimi will then have haste. I think it's pretty good for Otrimi decks. It'll also allow us to cast Otrimi a ton earlier if we need that. And then the last card is Arboreal Grazer, which is a green mana for a creature monkey. I don't know. Let me find it.
It's probably a beast.
It's a beast. I want it to be a monkey, though. It has reach. It's a 0/3. And when it enters the battlefield, you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped. This is a good card because it's extra land ramp on turn one. And then also we'll give Otrimi reach. Yeah, it also gives Otrimi reach, which is pretty good utility. Let's move on. Charlie, have you recovered from your funeral for the Impetuses?
I'm just very sad. Although I will regain control of myself for the purpose of the podcast.
For the sake of the
podcast. In order to show the next card we're going to be taking out here, which is Mindspring. So Mindspring is X blue for a sorcery. And it says, draw X cards. So, this is by no means a bad card. You know, it's pretty well known. It's a fairly normal card. But we just think that there's certain cards in our deck that will, certain cards we could add, that for a lower cost will accumulate more value and generate us more value in the long term throughout the course of the game. So, an example of that card would be Miles.
Colossal Majesty. It is 2 and a green for an enchantment, and at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control a creature with power 4 or greater, draw a card. And we've got Otrimi, who is a 6/6, so of course we're going to have a creature with power 4 or greater. So this is just better, cheaper card draw. Nothing more to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not strictly better, but, I mean, it's only 3 mana, and...
Whereas if you paid 3 mana for Mindspring, you're drawing 1 card.
Yeah. And every... As long as we have a Otrimi out, every upkeep we should be drawing a card, so this is just a really good card, and it's very cheap, and as long as you have a 4-power creature out, it's a very strong effect. And at only 3 mana, and you could force your opponent to use an enchant removal spell. It's not what they want to be doing, but it's generating you a lot of value throughout the game.
Right, like no one would cast a counter spell on a divination. So why would they cast Crossing Grip on this card?
Yeah.
And then they're going to regret it later. Because even beyond Otrimi, we've got a ton of cards with power 4 or greater in this deck.
Right.
Yeah. And cards can be mutated under cards with power 4 or greater. And there's just, it's just a really good card, and it's very versatile with, you know, 4 or greater is not that big of a cost, especially in Commander. So, I mean, we've established it. I mean, it's just a solid card in general. It's a lot of value. So, let's move on here now.
It's thunderstorming outside, but...
It is.
Vraska doesn't close my care. Window. Give me 1 second.
Okay. Anyways, Vraska doesn't care, so Gaze of Granite is our next card. It's X green and X green, black, black for a... Ooh, what happened? Oh, X black, black, green for a sorcery. Destroy each non-land permanent with converted mana cost X or less. Is this Vraska? No, it's some sort of Golgari Reclaimer, whatever it is.
It's a Gorgon.
It's some type of Gorgon. I think it's Vraska. Oh, wait, no, it's not. That's not Vraska.
No.
Vraska is Greenskin. That's not Vraska. That's some sort of Golgari Reclaimer Gorgon. And, anyways, Gaze of Granite. It's a board wipe, but it's so mana intensive that we'd rather play other things. So, as a result, we are going to put in Flood of Tears, which is a better board wipe.
I'm way behind because I just got back. All right, here we go. Flood of Tears. For a sorcery, returned all non-land permanents to their owner's hand. If you return 4 or more non-token permanents you control this way, you may put a permanent card from your hand onto the battlefield. It's a board wipe, but you get the advantage.
Right, because you can, if you've bounced enough of your stuff, then you get to replay something.
I think this is a solid return on non-land permanents to its owner's hand with an upside. I mean, it's just a good card. And yeah, there's also some pretty big non-land permanents that we might want to be returning this way, possibly. So there's some pretty big creatures, and notably mutate creatures in this deck. So this is just a good board wipe, but it could potentially be pretty good for you if you have the right card on the battlefield or in your hand.
Yeah, so I think I know. Well, Gaze of Granite might be fine in the deck. Well, I mean, mainly because it sends stuff to the graveyard, but because we're aiming to have a bunch of mana in this deck, we can redeploy pretty quickly.
Yeah,
I don't think it'll be an issue when we have to, especially because we can drop something big out like Otrimi, and then get our engine back going again. So yeah, I think we're gonna be fine throughout this. All right, let's move on. Widwin the Biting Gale is our next card that we're removing for this deck. We're still confused why this is even in the deck at all. Widwin the Biting Gale is 2 blue and a black for a legendary creature, Fairy Wizard. Widwin is a 3/3 and also has flash, flying, and then an activated ability. Blue and a black, pay 1 life. Return Widwin the Biting Gale to its owner's hand. I mean, it kind of has a bunch of keywords that might be useful. It has flying, but...
The thing is, it doesn't have a mutate ability.
Yeah, I'd rather play a lot of other things.
Right. Yeah, Widwin is cool and it has a lot of keywords, but I mean, if your creatures die, or creatures that mutate die, you can get them back with our commander Otrimi. So this is a
decent
card. I'd
be very happy to play this if this had mutate. Like if this was in the newest set and it had mutate. But it's just this weird card from Lorwyn that I don't know why is even in the deck. Anyways, we're going to put in Acidic Slime instead. Acidic Slime. Does someone else have it up?
Yeah, Acidic Slime is 3 green-green for a 2/2 ooze with Death Touch. When Acidic Slime enters the battlefield, destroy target artifact, enchantment, or land. So, Acidic Slime may not have quite as many keywords as Widwin does, but I feel like Widwin is just a little bit narrow, and Acidic Slime is just a well-known, really solid removal, non-creature removal card. And, I mean, it has Death Touch, which can be mutated, but destroying target artifact enchantment or land is just pretty good in general, and it's just a good card.
Definitely. Yeah, put them behind the curve, and you get a big creature attacking you, deterrent.
Yeah.
Like, you swing at me with your Galta, I'm going to kill it.
Right. It's deterrent.
Right.
Death Touch is always good, and because... Oh, no, mind. We're not going to record this. But it's good to mutate, like, stuff like Otremi onto. It would be fine, because it enters, you destroy something, and then you can later use it as a creature to mutate Otremi onto. Overall, pretty solid.
Yep. Okay, the next card we are going to get rid of is Masked Admirers. It is 2 green-green for a creature, elf, shaman. It is a 3/2, and when Masked Admirers enters the battlefield, draw a card. Whenever you cast a creature spell, you may pay green-green. If you do, return Masked Admirers from your graveyard to your hand. I think that maybe if it was returned to the battlefield, it would be a way, way, way better. Also, yeah. I think if they'd made something similar like this in C20 or Ikoria and had a mutate ability on it, it'd be a lot better. Yeah, maybe. We could do it with Otremi.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to end up being that great.
It doesn't have any synergy.
Right. In this deck, I mean, I see why they put it in there. It's a pretty good thing to mutate Otremi onto.
It's a 4-mana cantrip.
Right, it's a 4-mana cantrip. But I'd also rather play Fibblethip. Oh, not Fibblethip. Otremi wouldn't be able to mutate onto it. Elvish Visionary.
Yeah. So, I mean...
Oh, that thunder is loud.
Ooh. It's just not a super amazing card. It's a 4-mana, possibly repeatable cantrip.
Miles, are you hearing that thunder?
Yeah, in my opinion.
Like 2 blocks away.
I'm hearing it.
Oh, yeah. No, that stuff's intense. Wow. Yeah, it was like sunny and 65 degrees here. That never happens here. Sometimes it's supposed to like snow next week.
All right, let's.
No such thing as climate change. What are you talking about? Okay. Anyways, the code we are putting in is Ravenous Chupacabra. Ravenous Chupacabra is 2 black-black for a creature beast horror, 2/2, and when it enters the battlefield, destroy a target creature and opponent controls. It's motor on legs. That's pretty much all we need. And then later, we can mutate stuff onto it. I think it's just generically pretty. It's a pretty good card.
Yeah,
having it online allows us to record it and stuff. It's good.
I mean, it's a good card. It destroys a creature. That's about it.
Removal's always good to have, so I think that's why we're just putting it in there.
Yeah.
Alright, let's go ahead and move on to our next card. Our next card we are removing is Hero's Bane. Charlie's favorite Hydra. So you go ahead and read it off.
I mean, I'm kinda annoyed at this one, if I'm being honest. I really like Hero's Bane, but Hero's Bane is, I can say this from memory, 3 green-green for a 0/0 Hydra. So... Hero's Bane enters the battlefield with 4 +1/+1 counters on it, but you can pay 2 green-green in order to put X +1/+1 counters on Hero's Bane, where X is its power. So you can pay 4 to double Hero's Bane's power and toughness with counters. So this is just a really cool card, and it's a really good mana sink, and it can get very, very big. Sometimes when I'll play, I have a deck that ramps up and then plays Hero's Bane and similar Hydras, and it creates a very large card. So it's pretty fun, but Hero's Bane is interesting.
Why are we getting rid of it?
We are getting rid of this card mainly because it's not as versatile as the other Hydras in this deck. Leave this in, however, if you're going to play our backup commanders, which we forgot to go over, and we're going to do those now because we should have done that at the beginning. But the specifically the main secondary commander, not the partners, but Zaxala the Exemplary, is one black, green, and blue for legendary creature Nightmare Hydra. 2/3, Death Touch, tap, add 2 mana of any one color, and whenever you cast a spell with X in its mana cost, create a 0/0 green Hydra creature token, then put X plus 1/+1 counters on it.
If I get this card, I'm definitely making a deck around him.
No, I think Zaxxar is going to be a very, very cool commander. I think this overtakes Gogos as the best commander because we have access to blue and blue and black. Even though those aren't Hydra colors, we would have liked red. But blue and black give us... Basically, Sultai is the most powerful color combination, like three-colored combination, just purely because it has the three best colors. And so we have access to everything. And as a result, I think this is the best Hydra commander. But you definitely put... Yeah, you definitely put... what's it called? Gogos in this deck.
Yeah.
Alright. Yeah.
Yeah, so... and then the partner commanders are bad, so you shouldn't really play them. But Okima, the Stalking Shadow...
I don't want him too much.
One blue and a black for legendary creature Werewolf. 2/2. It can't be blocked. When it leaves the battlefield, it deals X damage to target player, and you gain X life, where X is its power. And Kazur, Ruthless Stalker, is 3 and a green for a legendary creature, Human Warrior, partners with Okima, the Stalking Shadow. And whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, put a +1/+1 counter on that creature. It's not too bad, but I think as far as partners go, these aren't as good as the Dude and his Shark, and also Dude and his Doggy. It's just a whale wolf. That's why I like this card most. Because it's a whale wolf. Come on. It also can't be blocked.
Which we're replacing Hero's Bane with Gonti, Lord of Luxury. Gonti, Lord of Luxury is 2 black-black for a 2/3 legendary creature, Aetherborn Rogue. It has Death Touch, and when Gonti, Lord of Luxury, enters the battlefield, look at the top 4 cards of target opponent library. Exile one of them face down, then put the rest of them on the bottom of that library in a random order. For as long as that card remains exiled, you may look at it, you may cast it, you may spend mana as though it were mana of any type to cast it.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a generically good card. Decent body too, because the Death Touch for Otrimi, but we can use it for value and play our opponent stuff, which is always a fun mini game. But it's a fun card.
Period.
That rain is insane.
It hasn't quite hit me yet, I don't think. So you can go and
really? You're gonna get it in like 15 seconds.
I know.
You really don't live that far from me, so.
I know. Or maybe my room is just quieter. Anyways.
Maybe your room's quieter. And I'm facing the front door in my room.
So basically you're gonna go and grab that person's stompy deck.
Yeah. So well, you can do it, yeah, target opponent. So you just do the or you do whatever you need most. So if you're looking for a control piece
or whoever you need to get rid of there.
That is kinda true. So like whoever you need to get rid of most, whichever deck is being most oppressive to them, you take that deck. So, let's say Miles is winning and he's playing Atrata. And I'm at 2 hit counters, so I'm about to die from Atrata. Yeah. And, I go and I dig in Charlie's library because I know he has cards like, Rune Halo, which would give me protection from, Atrata.
I have Rune Halo flashbacks playing Krenko.
Oh yeah, I did that. That was fun. I casted Rune Halo, naming Goblin Token. You got protection from all Charlie's Goblin Tokens. Which we don't even know if works. We didn't even look up the ruling, but whatever. Oh, I think we... Wait, did we look up the ruling?
That must be how it works. I'll look it up. Keep talking.
Okay, yeah, you look up the ruling for that. We haven't looked that up. That happened this summer, but then we didn't even look it up. Anyways, the next Bolas Punch, it's the last Bolas Punch. Is Find
Tokens
Finality
cannot be named.
Uh oh,
as well, they are not cards.
Never mind. Okay, we failed to do rules well, and yeah. So Charlie should have won all those games. Sadness. Okay, find finality is our last card. Find is two Golgari hybrid mana for a sorcery and that's two mana total. So Golgari hybrid. Return up to two target creatures from your graveyard to your hand. So just get stuff back. That's the pretty good side that we like. And then finality is the other side. Four black green for a sorcery. You may put two +1/+1 counters on a creature you control. Then all creatures get -4/-4 until end of turn. We can't pass both sides. I mean, it's a bad board wipe. It does 1/1 counters, but because it's not on a creature. Also, much apologies to the listeners for the insane weather that's going outside.
Hear it on your audio.
Huh?
We can't hear it on your audio.
Oh, you can't?
No. Can you hear it on mine?
Man. That is ridiculous. Let's finish this off.
So weird. Let's go.
We're going to finish this, and then everyone's going to be silent so we can listen to the rain. There's a storm warning tornado. But anyways, that seems like a great idea. Let's have a water balloon fight over Zencastr.
Okay, so...
Let's finish this. Our last card is Knight Incarnate.
Yeah, so we're adding Knight Incarnate. So Knight Incarnate is 4 and a black for a 3/4 creature elemental with Death Touch. When Knight Incarnate leaves the battlefield, all creatures get -3/-3 until end of turn. But Knight Incarnate has an evoke cost. So evoke means you may cast this spell for its evoke cost. If you do, it's sacrificed when it enters the battlefield. So evoke's purpose is essentially cards with evoke have a leaves the battlefield trigger. And so if you cast it for its evoke cost, you just get leaves the battlefield trigger. So this can either be a 5 mana that has a good leaves the battlefield effect, or a 4 mana, all creatures get -3/-3 until end of turn, and this creature goes into your graveyard.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good... like mini board wipe. It's a good body for
it also has that Death Touch, which as we've established is a pretty good ability.
Yep. Yeah, I think overall pretty good card.
Yeah,
I am finishing up adding all of our cards together, but let's talk about Brokos, because that's a honorable mention of sorts.
Honorable mention. AKA, we just don't know what he's going to cost. At the moment.
This is the loudest rain ever.
At the moment, Brokos costs $7.46. We expect that to come down, but we really just don't know, and we're a budget podcast. So if he stays up there, we can't really put him on the list. But I wanted to mention him because he does synergize really well. Brokos Apex of Forever is 2, a black, a green, a blue for a 6/6 legendary creature nightmare beast elemental and it's got mutate for 2, a Dimir hybrid green. If you cast a spell for its mutate cost, put it over under target non-human creature you own. They mutate into the creature on top plus all abilities from under it. It has trample, and you may cast Brokos Apex of Forever from your graveyard using its mutate ability.
Yeah, there's a lot of cards that are similar to this that are they're from the Mana Koya set, but are not in this deck. Because this is a new ability, and they wanted to have a commander that synergizes well with mutate. They made Otrimi, but as a result, we're gonna need a lot of support from the main set, but they didn't want to put a ton of the rare and mythic mutate cards. They weren't doing a lot of rare and mythics from the main set in the C20 product, so as a result, they're doing they just had a few like uncommon and commons from the main set, but there's lots of cards that we can put in here from the main set that because the codes don't exist right now, we can't price them. So as a result, we're not in this list. But there's a lot of probably better mutate codes for the list. Alrighty. Okay. Anyways, some weird stuff with.
Oh, it's heating up over where I am.
What are these images that are loading?
They're still loading for me. Don't worry about it.
All right, they're probably going to be clip outs of Moldrotha, to be honest. But anyways, the total for this deck upgrade, so 10 cards, comes to $3.70.
They can definitely. Can they hear it? Listeners,
hear
tell us if you can hear this.
What can they listen? What can they hear?
The rain. The rain's really loud now inside of my house.
I don't know how they wouldn't be able to hear. It is so loud. Why is this?
Oh my gosh.
All right, we're done here. Okay, this outline is growing very large. There's some obscene things that are being written in this Google Doc outline, and it goes down 65 pages. Anyways, we are almost done here, unless you want to hit the random code or you want trivia.
No, we must do the competition.
Okay, because I have trivia up as well. Oh, hang on, let's do trivia first.
Okay.
Alright, our trivia code is going to be... What were the sets in... The time spiral block.
I don't know. Oh, okay.
We were live, but barely.
Were we?
Yeah, I looked
it
up. Was
that not in the 90s?
Nope. Time spiral was 2006.
Oh.
Yep.
I literally, time spiral, the set?
Yep. It's the hourglass.
Yeah, okay, 2006. Okay, time spiral. It's not Mercadian.
If not, I have a backup one. I have a backup.
I have no clue.
All right, you guys are.
Wait. Let me think.
Okay. I wouldn't have gotten this if I wasn't the one who had came up with this trivia question.
Wait. Time spiral. Okay, 2006. When was Plane Chase, or what is that set called?
It was not Plane Chase. Planar Chaos? That's the second one. Yep.
Oh, nice.
Planar Chaos. That's the second one. And then the third one.
It's not like Onslaught. Onslaught is old. I don't know.
Onslaught is very old. No, so the last one is. You guys don't know?
No. Future. Do you really think I would know?
Future. It's an I. Future is the first word.
Sight.
There we go. Future Sight. Hang on, I've got a backup one. Who is the current guild leader for the Azoria Senate? We're gonna do these guild trivia for the next 10 episodes. I just decided now. Guild leader. Okay, so there's the Perrin.
Hesperia?
No, Hesperia's dead. Got killed by Verasco.
I don't really know.
Well, there was an evil dude who took it over.
Who?
He's dead.
Oh,
as well.
Teferi?
Nope. Teferi's
Kao?
Good. Nope.
Is it? Do they have Azorius cards?
Yeah. They have Azorius cards. Hand of Control.
What?
Hand of Control.
Dovin.
There you go. Good job, Miles. Okay, Dovin, and then the current guild leader was in two of the sets. Was there Maze Runner?
What do you mean Maze Runner? Like, was there a Dovin card called Maze
Runner? Well, the person who... No. I'm talking about the current leader.
Of what?
She ran the Dragon's Maze, Niv-Mizzet's Maze.
Of what guild?
Azorius. We're doing Azorius this episode. And then we're going to go through all the guilds.
There's two Azorius people?
Dovin got killed during the war with Bolas because he was a Bolas friend.
Yeah?
he was not punching Bolas. So now who's the current leader?
Kaya? I don't know.
Kaya's a Orv.
I know,
white,
but...
White, blue.
I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Azorius Renegade.
Lavinia.
There you go. Lavinia is
I didn't even know that thing existed.
Acting guildmaster of the Azorius Senate.
I don't know Azorius. I only play green, so... Green.
Okay. Anyways.
Green, black, and blue.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna do guild trivia for the next 10 episodes. I'm just deciding that now. That'll take us up to episode 25. Oh, next 9 now. So, and then the 25th episode will be something about.
Let's hit the random card generator on Scryfall and have a competition for who gets the best one.
Pew. I clicked it.
3, 2, 1. As you went early. Jade Leech.
Forest.
I got a Plains from the World Champion decks.
I guess I win.
All right, Miles wins because he's the only one who doesn't have a basic land.
I got a 2 green creature leech for it's a 5/5 and green spells you play costs green more 1 green to cast. One more green to cast. Oh,
I think basic land.
Honestly, I think basic land is better than this. What basic land did you guys get?
Plains.
Alright, Ezra wins.
I win because I got the forest. Forest is better than plains. And it was a it's the really pretty Dominaria forest. This is like my favorite forest art. It also has flowers in it for flower
time. Let's click it again, because this was pathetic.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Kabuto Moth.
Gift Ungiven. I got a card that's banned in Commander. Let's go.
Miles wins. Gift Ungiven is a stupid card. It's so good.
Target opponent chooses 2 of the cards, put the chosen cards into your graveyard, and put the rest into your... Oh my Jesus.
Yeah, that is a very good
card. I got the signature spellbook one.
Oh yeah, the Jace one. That one's pretty cool. I like the Kamigawa, though, because that's a pretty cool art. Anyways, wait, Charlie, what did you get?
I tried opening my window.
Wait, what did you get for your code?
I got Lunk Errant. It's like a big angry child.
Sounds great. Alright, everybody. Right, anybody and everybody, thank you for listening.
Thanks,
like,
guys.
Share, subscribe, and if you have any questions or feedback or comments
or trivia,
direct those. Or trivia for us. We would love to answer your trivia questions.
Trivia for us and for the viewers, possibly.
Oh yeah, that would be very, very cool. We're always looking for more trivia so that we don't have to click the random Scryfall generator for a fun part. And anyways, thank you everyone for listening. Youngpyrocast@gmail.com is the email that I forgot to say in the last 15 seconds because we suck at this. And youngpyrocast@gmail.com, email anything, everything and anything.
Except for you want Ezra's fake account.
Except for you, yeah. Well, it's not mine. They don't even know it's me. Okay, whatever.
That's beside the point, Ezra.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening. And next time, Ruthless Regiment. And we'll see you next time on the Young Pyromancers podcast. Anything else? All right, everybody, goodbye. Bye.